Thank you, Phil. That was great. And thanks to all who have participated to get us to this stage with music and with chairing. And of course, I'm really thankful for that IT team up there. Today, it's Ian and Lockie, and we're very grateful for them being here. Well, happy Easter to you all. Easter Sunday reminds us who God is and what God has done and what God is doing. It's a really precious day in the Christian church. In the past few weeks, I've been to 3 funerals and attended one online. And I've spent time with people in their final days of life. 4 people that were very much part of the RCC church family have passed away. And as we think of the one who has died, we reflect on their birth, on their life, and then their death and what they meant to us. When we come to Jesus and his birth, life, and death, I have to say, but wait, there's more. There is no tombstone and with these details on. And how amazing it was in that reading that Phil gave us. It was the angels who declared, he is not here, he is risen. For 40 days after that first Easter, Jesus, in his resurrection body, appeared to many people. He visited ordinary places and he spoke to ordinary people. He came to a garden. He saw 2 on the road into the town of Emmaus and to others at a lakeside. He met a group in the upper room of a building and others on a hilltop. He shared meals with them and he walked with them. He came to where they were walking and when they were waiting. He came to them when they were afraid and when they were hopeful, when they were doubting and when they were certain. He came to ordinary people like you and me. Paul lists out in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 all the people that Jesus appeared to, and he says there was over 500 in one place. Now, Elisa, that'd be a bit of counting up, wouldn't it, to do? You got 18 in the little video clip, but there we go, over 500 in one place. And you know, that's a great proof to us that he was definitely resurrected and no longer dead. If you ever wondered, what did Jesus say? Can I encourage you to read the last few pages of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John? They are called the Gospels and they speak about the life of Jesus. So they, of course, deal with his death, his burial, his resurrection, and they tell you a little more about some of the experiences that he had. And you also need to go to Acts 1, the beginning of the Acts of the Apostles that Luke wrote about. And you will see there Jesus, as he spoke to the people, and then as he rose and went up into heaven and left their eyesight. Today, I want to look at what did the resurrected Jesus say. I can't look at every word. We'd be here till next Easter. I'm only just going to look at 3 things that Jesus said after his resurrection that I believe that are very needful for us as we live in 2022. And the first thing is, do not be afraid. Certainly our world needs to hear that message from the resurrected Christ. He said to them, we heard it read by Phil, do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee and there they will see me. He came to the 11 on another occasion and he said, peace to you. You'll read that in Luke 24. This was more than just a conventional greeting like we might say, hi, or g'day. This greeting, peace, was much more. It was the assurance of a deep peace Jesus had promised them at the Last Supper. He then asked them in that same occasion, why are you troubled? And why did doubts rise in your minds? his words repeated again and again, "Fear not, do not be afraid. Look at my hands and my feet. Touch me. I am not a ghost," he said to them in that Luke reading. "It is I." And why should they not be afraid? Because he lives. They no longer need to fear death or disaster. They could be assured that just as Jesus triumphed, they too would triumph. They could be confident that God's purposes were not thwarted and that he himself was with them even until the end of the world. That's a word for us. We're still living in that time frame. We're going to sing a final song at the very end of our service today, and it's called "Because He Lives, I Can Face Tomorrow." Because he lives, all fear is gone. When you sing that song a little later, I hope you'll think about your fears and know that in Christ they are gone. The disciples could look forward to the fact that they too would be resurrected. And today in our world, filled with its dangers, hate and war, the words of the Lord Jesus are more relevant than ever before. Once again, he comes to those who love him and he says, "Do not be afraid." That is the message he would give to people in any parts of the world today that where there is turmoil and strife. And he gives that message to us in our own hearts and in our lives, in our families or wherever we are connected, that we may be undergoing turmoil, strife and tension. If I ask you today, do you have any turmoil and strife in your family? I know that many of you here this morning would raise your hands. And so often we can think we're the only ones with trouble to deal with. And we can actually sometimes feel ashamed. Let me assure you, there is no room for shame in this area. You are not alone. So many people struggle with that. I recently attended a session with Maroondah Council on the impact of COVID and what has happened. That survey was actually done last year and they said it's even greater than what it was 1 year ago. And the findings of that survey line up with so much with what we know here in our own church. People are anxious like never before. There are so many areas in our life that we have lost control over. And with that comes fear. We will all have had issues and concerns that have made us fearful. And we're not alone in this. Our whole community feels that. But does it make a difference if we stop and think about what the risen Jesus said? Do not be afraid. We have a God that we can trust and know that he is with us in the darkest of our days, and that he does give us peace, peace that is based on what we can and cannot do. But it's not because of what we do, it's because that Jesus has done that we can have an unshakable hope. Those people that I have journeyed with in this past month in my role here at the church as pastoral care pastor, those people that were facing death, knew the truth that there was a hope for them. That's the difference it can make. The second thing I want to look at that Jesus said is, be a witness. He came to the disciples as they cowered in that upper room behind the locked doors. They were afraid and frightened of what might happen to them. The upper room was usually a place on a rooftop or in an upper floor level. It was a place of prayer, and yet here they were hiding. And when Jesus came and he challenged their fears and he quieted them, in John 20 he says, "As the Father has sent me, so I send you." He came to them too in Matthew on a hilltop. And he said, "Therefore, go therefore and make disciples of all nations." And in his final words before he departed from them, as Luke records in the book of Acts 1 and 8, he said, "You shall be my witnesses to the ends of the earth." Jesus was telling them that they could not know him to be alive without also wanting to proclaim that news to others. He sent them out through an unlocked door. He sent them out from the hilltop, down out into the towns and into all the world to take the gospel of good news. There should never be any doubt in the mind of any Christian that the Lord has given us an order, and to fail to heed this command is a deliberate disobedience and sin. We are told to go to the entire world with the gospel, and this command is all inclusive. It embraces evangelism in every possible circumstance. That's why we go from place to place sharing the good news. Last week, as I shopped, I said, "Happy Easter," to all the people who served me. Some looked quite shocked when I said it to them, especially those from nations where Easter is not celebrated. Other people smiled back, and some I even had a little more conversation with. I use that opportunity to share what Easter means to me. Billy Graham said, "I am convinced that if we really believe that men and women are lost apart from Jesus Christ, it would become a burning incentive to evangelize with a zeal and a passion that we are in danger of losing." Billy Graham believed it with all of his heart. He preached and he shared and he made the most of every opportunity that God gave him. One of the points given at the Maroondah Council meeting that I was at was the great need that they sense in the community to be connected. The call that they're going to put out is, "Let's get neighbourly Maroondah." You'll see the advertising go up very soon. They're going to introduce small groups in the neighbourhood. Later this month, they're going to be training people to lead a small group within the community to help people to connect. If you want to get to do the Get Neighbourly course, then check out the Maroondah webpage. All the details are there and you can enrol. I've signed up for that course. I want to be more neighbourly in my area, and I'm looking forward to doing it. You know, as we think about connect groups, let's first of all start with here at church. Are you in a connect group? This is one really important way to connect with others and to be able to pray together and to share your concerns. We know that it's true. That's why this church has had connect groups for a very long time. All my Christian life, I have been in a connect group. And I have been so blessed by the people that I've met with on a regular basis. Make contact with me if you want to join a group. Someone asked me that question just 3 weeks ago. They said, "I want to join a group." And I told them when the groups were on, and they did join. And now they feel very connected to that group that they are in. When I heard that the Maroondah Council is doing small groups, I thought, yes, we have taught that over and over here at RCC. We encourage you also to get to know your neighbours so that you can share your faith. And how exciting is that to me, that the Maroondah Council sees great value in what we know to be true. Will you reach out and be a friend to your neighbours? Will you get to know someone in your community who is looking for a sense of connectedness that you can give? The resurrected Jesus commanded us to do that. And now Maroondah Council in 2022 asks us to do it. How good. You know, Jesus commanded us to go into all the world. And how true is that here in Maroondah? We have the world living within us. We have a Burmese congregation that meets here on Sunday afternoon in this church. And there are many other nationalities in our region. We need to take that seriously and be good neighbours. I was thinking about that and our relationship with people in our street, where I live, William Street. There are at least four households that Peter and I have done life with over the years. It's not easy, I've got to be honest and tell you that, but you need to be on the lookout for the opportunities. We met one young lady studying here from overseas who lived in our street, and she wanted to come to church. We invited her. She came. We had meals together. And then she asked me to pray for her. She said, I need to move out of the house where I am. I said, yes, I would pray for her. So that night, I was praying that God would provide her need. And as I prayed, God clearly spoke to me. He said, Kay, you and Peter are the answer to that prayer. I talked it over with Peter. We continued to pray. And God very clearly, wow, step after step, showed us that this is what we needed to do. She lived with us for 3 years. And she still is very much a part of our family. And we seek to encourage her spiritually. We never know when we begin a friendship where it will end. And I'm sure that you too will have your stories that you can share with someone today. The third thing that the resurrected Jesus said was, receive power. The Apostle John told how Jesus came to them saying, receive the Holy Spirit in John 20. Luke tells us that Jesus said, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. That's Acts 1:8. You know, that was enough, more than enough, for any contingency and for every emergency that the disciples would ever face. Certainly the church today needs God's spiritual power. Too often we try to do the work of the kingdom of God in our own strength. We use the wrong kinds of weapons. Prayer is one of the weapons that God has given us to use. That's why we pray. That's why we ask and we look for God to open the door. I wanted to invite one of our neighbours. Peter and I prayed about that, but the door didn't open to do that. But I know we tried and we used that weapon at that time. The two symbols of Pentecost, that's when the Holy Spirit came in a very visual way, are wind and fire. And both of these speak to the supernatural work of the Holy Spirit in revival. The Greek word translated revive in the New Testament means to stir up, to rekindle a fire that is slowly dying. Now, I hear that the guys had one heck of a good fire going down at Pete's place the other night for a bunch of blokes. It was stirred up on a number of occasions and kept them all warm as they stood around it. You know, the members of the early church, even though they had that anointing of the Holy Spirit in Acts 2, they needed fresh renewings. And we know that in chapter 4, we read of them being filled again. When they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. That's the sort of empowering we need today. You know, the elders have set aside the month of May on Friday night for us to come together and to pray. There'll be a notice in the Connect coming up about that. And I would really encourage you, that's a weapon that we can take hold of. What do we want to pray for? We need to pray for God's wisdom and discernment and for the church selection, pastoral selection team as they move forward. You know, they've tried the doors, they've tried the interviews, but nothing has come. And we long for God's person, and we are going back to resorting to a special time of prayer during the month of May. It's my prayer that we might witness in our generation a mighty spiritual awakening. COVID and isolation continues to have a huge impact on the church. And may the words of the resurrected Jesus, "Do not be afraid. Be a witness. Receive power," burn in our hearts today as they burned in the hearts of the disciples so many years ago. And I pray that this thrilling knowledge will sink deep into our hearts, that Christ is indeed alive, and that he is coming back to earth again someday. I want to just add, if you do not know Jesus to be your Lord and Saviour, maybe you're here this morning, maybe you're watching online. We're so thankful that you are. May today be the beginning of your journey with Jesus as your Lord and Saviour. You can come, you can ask Jesus to forgive your sin, and you will become a child of God. And then you know that you can go out not being afraid, because you have a Saviour who loves you and who will be there all the way. And maybe for some of us that have got a bit complacent, and we do have those fears. It was great on Friday in our Good Friday service to write some of what those fears were down on a slip and to acknowledge that we don't have to deal with them anymore. We don't need to be afraid. Maybe it's a challenge to you today to be a witness with those that are around you and to know that you don't go out in your own strength, you go out in the strength of the Holy Spirit. If you want to make contact, by all means, come and chat with me this morning. Or if you're online, the email address does come up. Send an email and I will reply and follow you up. May Easter 2022 be very special to you. May you know that the resurrected Jesus is with you. His power given through the Holy Spirit will enable you, and go out knowing that truth. Let's just pause and pray. Heavenly Father, we are so, so thankful that our Saviour Jesus Christ is no longer in the tomb. He is risen. He is resurrected. He is now in heaven, seated with our God. We want to thank you for the gift of the Holy Spirit that Jesus gave to the church. Oh, how we need the Holy Spirit to work within us, to prick us, to lead us, and to empower us. And dear Lord, I just thank you that you want to walk with us, to talk with us, to empower us. And I thank you for this church. And I just pray, dear Lord, that we will be faithful to your calling. And we thank you in the name of Jesus. Amen. The music team are coming up and have a song for us. Thank you.